Hello and welcome to my kitchen. I'm roasting a chicken, and this piece of audio is in response to a piece of audio posted by Chris Pilgrim, known as Pilgrim Chris, on the platform audioboom.com. And it also has been a little bit informed by a piece of audio recorded by Bernie Goldback, known as Top Gold, in response to Pilgrim Chris. And so I guess I should put in the notes of this for this audio the link to Pilgrim Chris's piece of audio. But the point I want to chip in is in relation to Pilgrim Chris's avatar. He appears in the avatar as a pilgrim who is, and I took it to be Compostela, the Santiago de Compostela that the image was from, and it shows a male pilgrim, staff in hand, and in the distance are the spires of churches, or at least the spire of one church. When I think about the name Pilgrim Chris, I feel a great affinity with him. I feel that my whole life is a pilgrimage. I feel that every step of the day that I walk along, I am on a pilgrimage. And by that I mean humbly walking through life in a certain direction. I associate pilgrimage with being a mixture of moving in a certain direction, but with humility in your heart and soul. So when I'm fully aware of the religious connotations of the word pilgrimage. I've been to Lourdes myself several times, it feels like a lot of times, but, you know, about three or four, five times with my mother most recently. And I went to Lourdes on pilgrimage with the Limerick pilgrimage, but I went as in recent times, I went as an unbeliever, and I was able to draw value from the experience of being there and the experience of both be alongside and watching people who were in reverence, in a state of mind in which they felt themselves to be in contact with their God, and doing things that were in relation to each other that I admired, like consistently helping other people, pushing them backwards and forwards between a hospital and the grotto in Lourdes. So I feel that Pilgrim Chris's avatar connects with me at a fairly deep level. And of course, pilgrims have lots and lots of interests. If we look at the Pilgrim's Progress, there's an awful lot of stuff goes on in the Pilgrim's Progress, which is quite different from religion. So lots of things are debated on that, on the Pilgrim's Progress, which aren't religious at all. So that's the first point I want to make, really, to Chris more than anybody else. So it is that I find no, and certainly I've listened, Chris, to your audios in which you take a stand on something, I don't immediately associate you with any particular religious bent. I see you as a person who's going through life in a particularly committed way, and the details of what exactly you're committed to are private to me. So I leave, you know, but I respect that, and somebody who, in a sense, makes visible to other people that they are, you know, a pilgrim, attracts me. The unbeliever me is attracted by the stance that Pilgrim Chris has taken. I hold the view that to have a regular ending which says at the end of his audios, which say, and if applicable, God bless, doesn't actually help his cause. To be truthful, I don't feel adapted that to say, and you know, if applicable. But that's just a personal preference. I would be inclined to drop that if it was me. But then again, I guess you have to sign off, and in some way, and at least Chris signs off in a consistent way, which means that that phrase, he gradually comes to own that phrase, and that could be quite a good element of his personal branding, to own that phrase. And it does indeed, as Chris has pointed out himself, does indeed end on a what couldn't be construed by anybody to be a confrontational style. In fact, it feels to me like it's going out of its way to be non-confrontational. And at times Chris has expressed himself with quite a considerable amount of force and strength of view, which I suppose could be perceived by some people as being a bit confrontational. Notwithstanding the question of, well, notwithstanding the assurance that Pilgrim Chris gives that he doesn't mean to be confrontational. The second point I wanted to offer back to Pilgrim Chris escapes me for a minute, and I'm trying to think what it is. And so the first one is really about... It is to do with this question about why would somebody bring quotes from the Bible into a discussion about something else. And I can think of one reason why they might do it, or one reason why I might even do it in some situations when somebody's discussing something with me. If they are a known, what I would call a known believer, if I know that they have a particular strong commitment to religion and a particular respect for the Bible, as a form of empathizing with them, I might bring some element of the Bible into my conversation, mainly and almost entirely to establish some kind of rapport with them, to try to bring the general principles that underpin the points of difference, we'll say, between us. And there is always something that lies behind the positions that we adopt. I think that there's a distinction between the position that a person adopts and their deepest needs and wants. In other words, whatever position somebody takes, it's like that's the public presentation, but they may not even express their position as well as it could be expressed. What is much more interesting is what lies behind and underneath the positions that they're presenting. So I would call these needs and wants. So I would have to say that I must at some stage, although I can't think of an example right now, have brought parts of the Bible into my conversations in which there have been arguments about particular points. And I suppose I'll keep on doing it. But I had to ask myself, well, why do I do it? And I think that in the course of an argument with somebody, it can actually disrupt the friction that the bringing the Bible in can disrupt the status quo of the argument when the argument itself may be getting nowhere. So to put in something from left field may actually revitalize the argument. When I use the word argument, I mean it to be a positive word rather than a negative one, or to have the potential of being either positive or negative, to be more exact. So thank you both very much, Chris and Bernie. And there may be others who have also done audio on this topic. But it's certainly given me a pleasant way of exercising my mind and memory this Sunday afternoon. All the best, and if applicable, keep them coming.